Yeah, good morning. Yeah, today I would like to talk about the magic project. Yeah, anyway, thank you very much for inviting me to this workshop. Our telescope located at the Canary Island, La Palma. This is a picture of the site. This is our telescope and the counting room. This is an old Hegra telescope. And our PIX objectives are shown here. One of the important objective is a study of cosmic ray origin. However, we have an emphasis on the extragalactic sources, agents, and the gamma ray burst observations. And using these gamma ray bursts and the AGN signals, yeah, we want to study cosmological gamma ray horizon and the quantum gravities. And we are also very interested in dark matter study with MAGIC telescope. MAGIC is designed to observe low energy, relatively low energy gamma rays from ground. Yeah, essentially it is designed to observe 10 GeV gamma rays. Our current threshold energy is still 40 GeV energies. You can see this absorption curves by Peric, calculated by Peric and Koki. And this is a calculation by the Stecker. You can see this is the injection spectrum of gammas, and you can see the absorption of gammas by the interaction with ambient photons. If we want to see, for example, Z equal to AGN, we need to set up the threshold energy below 10 GeV energy. Yeah, if you want to see up to Z equal 0.5, yeah, perhaps 40 GeV threshold energy is okay. But it is important to lower the threshold energy. Yeah, this is a picture of MAGIC telescope. To lower threshold energy, we chose large diameter telescope, 17 meter diameter, and a parabolic reflecting surface. Yeah, total area is 240 square meter, and we employed aluminum mirrors to reduce the weight of telescope. Yeah, later I will explain why do we insist on lower weight telescope. This is a carbon fiber. Yeah, telescope frame is made by carbon fiber frame, space tube. And here is our camera. It covers 3.5 degree field of view, and the quantum efficiency is 30%. Yeah, relatively high than normal tubes. And we transmit signal to the counting house through optic fiber cables.
So, how much tubes, right?
No. This is a normal tubes. EMI tubes.
EMI.
And we employ new technologies. One reason is for fast rotation of the telescope. We can rotate our telescope in any direction within 20 seconds. So getting the alert from satellite, we can follow up here. We can do follow-up observation for gamma ray bursts. And I think a MAGIC telescope is the best telescope to study gamma ray bursts because we have a lower threshold energy and a very fast rotation. Yeah, this is a schematic view. To get a lot from, for example, GRASP or SWIFT, it takes, in case of SWIFT, it takes 10 seconds. and the magic through the target gamma ray burst direction 20 seconds. Yeah, this is a distribution of gamma ray burst duration. So in case of long burst, we have a chance to see the flash of the gamma ray burst. Yeah, our magic telescope, first telescope is, construction of first telescope is completed in July 2004, last summer. And this is an event display, yeah, real event. Yeah, we are taking data with 300 Hz and threshold energy is about 40 GB. And you can see many rings, they are muons. And the muons can be used for calibration purpose of our telescope. It is not easy to determine the absolute number of photons in such telescope, Cherenkov telescope and in air fluorescence telescope. However, we can use muons as absolute calibrators. You can see, for example, in this case, we take the arc length. Arc length is a length of arc of muon arcs, and size, muon size means a brightness of the image. It has a really good linear relation. And the beta is shown blue and beta and Monte Carlo simulation is shown red and blue points, and by using this data we can do absolute calibration. You can see other distribution for us very well.
How much does that depend on what the atmosphere is doing?
Yeah, a few percent level. Yeah, new scattering, if we see vertical. If we see large zenith angle, it becomes more problematic, 10% or 20%.
Can you measure muon energy measurement?
Energy spectrum, yeah, next, this is, in the next slide I will show. This is a famous Hirst parameter, length and the width and the distance. Distance and asymmetry and concentration. And the data, Monte Carlo showed the blue, and the data is shown in red, off source data. So they are essentially hadronic showers, and Monte Carlo and the data agree very well. And this is a spectrum, hadronic spectrum. You can see some structure here. And this is the saturation of the system. This structure is muons, muon bumps. And you can see the Monte Carlo and the data agree very well.
What is the atmos?
What?
The protons or?
Protons, off-source, off-source.
Yeah, but how you remove nuclei? So these are all data you compare with?
Yes, yes. So if we include a new, perhaps if we include the helium, perhaps this distribution will change a little bit. However, that.
So you're removing helium?
Yeah, in this Monte Carlo, we use just proton.
But then data are all.
Yeah, but. Helium shower and iron, carbon and iron shower is not so bright compared with proton.
About 40%.
No.
Helium was about 40%.
Modification shall happen in this size distribution. It shall appear within a 10% level. You may understand. Small correction shall happen. And this is observation of craft. We can see. Graph with 20 sigma with 1 hour observation. Yeah, Hess has a data sensitivity, perhaps 40 sigma power or 60. I don't know the value.
In this range, yeah, 65.
Okay. In any case, we observe gamma rays from cloud with 1 hertz. After the All analysis chain, we obtain 0.5 Hz signal. And this is a movie which was made by a PhD student. Yeah, you can see the peak is growing like this. And this is alpha distribution. Yeah, this is the orientation angle of Cherenkov image. That orientation angle should be centered to the source direction, and this is a signal path, and this is a background. And recently, we start to use a different analysis method. It is called the DISP method. This was developed by Whipple people several years ago. And with this method, we can get better images, like this way. And after smoothing the image, we obtain very nice peak. Angular resolution becomes 0.1 degrees in 200 GB energy range. This is a club energy spectrum in wider energy range. You know the synchrotron radiation component and the inverse photon component. And the magic is working around here. And we hope we can see the peak of inverse Compton peak, inverse Compton. Yeah, this is a new F new plot. And this is a differential energy spectrum of magic, a crack observed by magic. At the high energy region, we have a good agreement with old Hegular spectrum. And you can see several points below 100 GB is observed by magic. And the lowest point has a no significance. Perhaps you should interpret this point as an upper limit. You should take this value as an upper limit. And if we multiply E squared, we obtain new F new spectrum. Yeah. Perhaps we observe this turnover of the spectrum in the Compton peak from graph. This is observation of Malbarian 41. Yeah, last year, February, this is a test observation, and we observe nice peak with 100 minutes observation. And this is another observation of Malbarian. Malbarian 41 is AGM. This Z equals 0.03. And in December, we carried out joint observation with Hess. And this is magic. Magic and Hess both observed the peak. And now younger people are analyzing spectrum using these data, I think. Joint analysis is going on.
When was the Hess which time? Because we
50 minutes observation. What, very short.
Last year.
Last year, December.
December.
Yes.
Because so the May we hit 120 sigma.
Yeah, last February, yeah? April. So the data horn is working on this thing in your side. And we also observed AGM YES-1959, Z equals 0.005. And this observation was carried out low state or quiet state in X-ray activities. And we see, 7 sigma excess from this source. This is an interesting source. Yeah. Usually we see X-ray and the gamma ray correlations, but in this source, by Whipple, I remember Whipple observed some orphan, no X-ray gamma ray flare without any flare of X-rays. And this is preliminary observation, preliminary result of galactic center. We saw two sigma. We observed two hours. We carried out 2 hours observation for galactic center last year. And recently, we analyzed this data and we saw seven sigma excess from galactic center. This is a new source, HD89-0317, Z equals 0.16, relatively distant source, five times distant than, more distant than Malkarians. And we saw nice excess. Perhaps, yeah. We want to confirm, we want to observe again this source this year.
I'm sorry, so what's the definition of alpha? Because the resolution is 0.1 degrees and here it's 7.3 degrees.
Yeah, this is orientation angle.
Okay.
Typically the Cherenkov image has a offset 1 degree from the real object.
Yeah.
And it has a elliptical shape. This major axis.
I'm going to draw a picture on the board, Masahiro.
Yes. So this is a camera, and if there is a gamma ray source here, in case of gammas, you observe such images,
mm-hmm.
And you can define major axis for each image, and you can define the center of gravity. And you can define these angles between connecting this centroid and the star position and this major axis.
Mm-hmm.
This angle is, yeah, for example, if the angle is something like this, this is called alpha. So in reality, 10 degree means about 0.2 degree separation from this source, or 0.1 degree separation.
Can I ask another question about the galactic center plot?
This has a bias, some bias.
Oh, the blue?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is a negative excess. And in the analysis, I can imagine there's some bias. Yeah, we need.
Is it extended emission?
No. We cannot say. Yeah, alpha distribution has a little bit wide, a little bit spread. However, at the moment, the significance itself is not so high. So we are observing now galactic center.
What is
practice almost consistent with this?
What is effective energy?
Hmm?
What is
700 GB.
So can you tell the difference between the supernova remnant and the galactic center? The Sagittarius A east or whatever and Sagittarius A supernova?
Yeah, it is not easy.
Okay.
Very difficult to distinguish the Sagittarius A and the. So at the moment we don't have enough, not so many scientific results, and I want to talk about magic 2 extension to magic 2. Now, Faso telescope working well, and we are constructing second telescope. Yeah, for the next step, we want to go lower threshold energy and we want to get a better sensitivity. And then we chose the solution to construct second telescope and employ high quantum efficiency photon detector, advanced photon detector, and the ultra fast, very fast flash ADC system. And second telescope will be completed at the end of 2016, next year. And advanced photon detector, which we are developing in the collaboration with Hamamatsu, has a 50% quantum efficiency. And current photomultiplier, if we compare with the current photomultiplier, this improvement is about a factor of two photon correction efficiency. This means a 17-meter diameter telescope becomes equivalent to 24-meter diameter telescope. And we are also developing a silicon device for user purpose and magic purpose. And in this case, top 75% quantum efficiency can be available in near future. And with very fast flash ADC, we can reduce background contamination by a factor of two or factor of three. This is very important. So now we have one telescope, and we will build second telescope around here. And if possible, man
is
available.
Is already with improved flood efficiency?
What? If funding is available, we want to construct a larger telescope, 34-meter telescope, in the same site. So I want to show some Monte Carlo simulation about the two telescope system. Yeah, essentially with two telescopes, we can reconstruct shows in stereoscopic way. We can reconstruct geometry of shows. Image parameter, this figure shows the image parameter. This is alpha theta square distribution. Yeah, gamma ray concentrate near the source, and the protons distribute flat. And the widths and the lengths, you can see a good separation between the gammas and the hadrons. And this is a, we define hadronness parameter using a random forest. This is something like a neural net, and we can define each event. This has a hadronness 5 or hadronness 0. 0 means a gamma, very gamma light. Hadronness 1 means a very proton hadron light. And we can distinguish gamma and proton like this way. And this figure shows the quality factor. So the without any selection, if we observe 5 sigma, for example, after some image hadron selection or a gamma selection, we can improve the that significance by a factor of 7 by
so
image.
You look at this image and you have some pattern recognition that assigns these
No, we input the, essentially, we input the widths and the lengths and the brightness and the such parameters, not directly the two-dimensional image. After analysis, we obtain such parameters, and then we feed these parameters to random forest, somehow neural net work system, and then obtain hadronness parameter. This is the angular resolution. We can improve angular resolution. This is the sensitivity. We can improve sensitivity by a factor of two with two telescope system. And this is the sensitivity as a function of two telescope distance. It is very, very insensitive to the distance between two telescopes. Because if you choose the nearby arrangement, you obtain more coincidence event. However, angular resolution becomes poor. If you separate telescope, you get a better angular resolution. However, you will lose statistics.
You don't increase the energy threshold if you put 140 meters from each other?
Threshold. will go up, I don't have a plot at the moment, but...
So you keep the energy threshold low, even if you put a counter 40 meters from each other to the telescope?
No, no, it will increase. This sensitivity is evaluated at
integral
flux, yeah. So the...
And also in 3.5 degree field of view, did you get all these events inside 3.5 degree if you put so far from each other telescopes? Because, I mean, some of the events will be outside of camera.
Yes.
So this is probably ideal camera, not 3.5 degree camera.
No, we considered...
your camera?
Yes, magic geometry, yeah, camera. And this is the angular resolution. Angular resolution improved somehow from a single telescope to stereo. Not a factor of two, but you can see improvement. This is a total sensitivity improvement from magic geometry to... Yeah. Improvement is just factor of two. Factor of two, yeah, you think a factor of two is not so significant, but factor two means that if you want to see a five sigma signal at some source, you need to just observe one fourth to a quarter of time of the original observation. So it means you can scan four times more sources. So we can go lower threshold energy with this second telescope system and two times better sensitivities. We can reduce observation time by a factor of four. And the energy resolution also improved somehow. Yeah, now we have a 25%, 28%, 23% energy resolution. However, it becomes less than or about 20%. So the advantage of magic second telescope construction is we can improve sensitivity with a minimum effort. Essentially, it is a copy of first telescope. And with the consciousness mode, we can get a factor of two better sensitivity. Yeah, if you use same observation time, you can see a sky deeper, or you can scan more sources. And we can get a high purity gamma samples. Yeah, improvement of factor two means that you can reduce, in the final plot, you can reduce a background factor of four, essentially. So you can get a better high purity gamma samples, and we can do better physics with these data. And with a higher, better angular resolution, we can locate source positions better. And we can also have a flexibility to operate in different modes. For example, one telescope is used to ordinal observation mode. However, the other telescope can be used to patrol AGN to find out a high state AGN, or dedicate for 1 year a search for dark matter, for example. So it's a mandatory to build a second telescope before GRASS launch. Absolutely, GRASS will be launched in September 2007. So we can prepare a second telescope with good condition in this period. And we want to do simultaneous observation with GRASS and Agile mission. And I want to show you the new photon detector, advanced photon detector. Yeah, you can see seven photon detectors, and this is a photocathode area. You can see really this photocathode is dark compared with normal photochip. It means most of the photons are absorbed in this photocathode.
Is it mentioned?
18 millimeter in this direction, 18 millimeters. This is a current magic photochip response, and this tube has such high quantum efficiency response, and the charge resolution is really good. The architecture structure of this tube is something like this. we have a photocathode here. This photocathode is made of gallium arsenide and phosphor. Essentially, this is semiconductor. And we apply 80 kilovolt high voltage between this photocathode and the avalanche photodiode and accelerate photoelectrons and bombard them in the APDs. With the electron bombardment, we obtain thousands of gain, and with avalanche photodiode, we gain 50 times gain. So in total, it becomes 5 times 10 to 4. It is a suitable gain for magic telescope.
What's the spectrum of the signal you expect to see?
Yeah, essentially,
Cherenkov?
Yeah, Cherenkov.
So you're not going to gain that much then, are you? Because it's a bit lower wavelengths.
No. We gain a factor of 2 photon correction efficiency, convoluting the Cherenkov light.
Cherenkov picks at 300 nanometer. You have to shift. Otherwise, you'll detect a lot of nice curve. On the other hand,
no.
Background picks at 600 nanometer.
For Zenith angle observation, you have a peak around 350, or you said 330
nanometer. Okay.
Yes. And convoluting that spectrum, we obtain the gain of 1.8. But you also get a more background.
Background peaks at 500, 600.
Yes. Yeah, more in red colors. And the background also increase 2.5 or something. So then we need a better flash ADC to make the charge integration time shorter. Okay.
They're talking about shifter before, just to shift.
Yes. Yeah, we can put, if we put a shifter, wavelength shifter, we gain 2.1 or something. Yeah, in the later, just a moment. Yeah, here I show the improvement of signals. This is the current status for 40 GeV showers. We typically see 10 photoelectrons per pixel, and the noise is 2.5. And if you use HDD, you can get 20 photoelectrons. However, background also increase 8 photoelectrons. And then you read those signals with a fast flash ADC system, you can reduce the integration gate time. Chunk of light comes within a few nanoseconds. Now we open the gate 20 nanoseconds. So you can improve the signal to noise ratio using the very fast flash ADC. And then you get a purely factor of 2 gains in signal to noise ratio. Then at the large zenith angle, you obtain more because the all photons move in red colors. Blue photons are absorbed in the atmosphere, and red color Cherenkov photon is enhanced, so we obtain about 2.3 or 2.4 gain in large zenith angle. So the fast readout is also important. This is another device, silicon device. This is still under development. Previous one is almost ready. If I pay money to Hamamatsu, I can purchase within a half year. 500 pieces will be prepared within half a year. And
how much do we cost?
Yeah, they offer a special cost for us. However, if you buy this tube, it costs €3,000 per piece.
The photomultiplier.
Yeah. This photomultiplier.
Yeah,
perhaps the.
This may be a primitive question, but the filling factor of that hexagonal array doesn't look very high. Doesn't that reduce your effective efficiency?
We put a Winston cone in front of this photosensor. Yeah, Winston cone limit the field of view. It is important to limit the field of view of the yeah for each pixel. And this is a more and more ambitious detector. Perhaps within 5 years, it becomes available, and all many applications with a photomultiplier will be replaced with this device, I believe. This is developed by Russian people, originally Russian people, Dorogoshain, and Sadikov, and Golovy. And now, 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter, very small devices are available. And this is developed for Tesla experiment, linear collider experiment. KEK people and the US people, now KEK people and the US people and the German people is developing for linear collider purpose, this, to read out tidal calorimeter signal. And this is really interesting device. This is array of avalanche photodiode, many avalanche photodiode. In this case, we have 500 micropixels in one detector. And each small pixel works as a Geiger tubes, works in Geiger mode. If one photon comes in one microcell, it becomes hot and give signal one. And we sum up the those signal with analog circuit, and then you can see the very difficult. One photoelectron, two photoelectron, three photoelectron, four photoelectron, like this way. You can count the number of photons fit in this detector. Even 46 photoelectron case, you can still count the 46, 47, 48. Very good high charge resolution. And the time resolution is 100 picosecond, really good. And now, with the collaboration, in the collaboration with Dorogoshain, we made a 3 millimeter by 3 millimeter device. It works successfully. And the next step, end of this year, we obtain 5 millimeter one. This is used for user experiment. We need a 5 millimeter pixel for user application. And then we want to move, if this is successful, we want to move 10 millimeter size one. And essentially, silicon has 100% of quantum efficiency, internal quantum efficiency. Yeah, this is another architecture which we are developing in our institute. Drift using a back illumination technique. In this case, we can expect about essentially 100% quantum efficiency. Yeah, this figure shows the quantum efficiency of silicon. You can see it's almost 100%. Okay, this is a picture of domino sampler. It is developed by Stefan Dick. We consider to use this domino ring sampler for Magic 2 telescope. And this gives us the opportunity to measure the signal with 2 gigahertz sampling, very fast sampling. Okay, well, this is too technical, I think.
So you're also developing these detectors for ESO?
Yes.
Yeah,
if we can achieve 70% quantum efficiency with this device, mm-hmm. we can go about 10 to 19 electron volt threshold energy with ESO. It is very, very fascinating. Now our threshold energy is 5 times 10 to 19 electron volt. And the photomultipliers quantum efficiency is just 12%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, that multi-anode photomultiplier is considered as a baseline of a user detector, which has just 12% quantum efficiency because of structure. And with silicon PM, we can enhance several times the quantum efficiency, and we can push down threshold energy from 5 times 10 to 90 to 2 times 10 to 90, or hopefully 10 to 19 electron volt. Then I think a user mission becomes stronger than now, physically. If we can measure even from 10 to 9 electron volts, we can see good overlap with mm-hmm. OJ. and we can extend spectrum beyond the 10 to 20 electron volts. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I want to divide the user with this detector.
So what kind of time scale do you think, in what kind of time scale do you think you might achieve a workable prototype that will sound convincing?
So the end of this year, perhaps we obtain 50% quantum efficiency, 5 millimeter size detector. Hopefully. So it becomes a first prototype. Perhaps we need a several iteration for the working model. So within 1 or 2 years, we can show nice device for you. Yeah, this is 2D. So this flash ADC system nicely working. And very fast flash ADC system has a potential not only to reduce the gate wheels charge integration time, but also to identify particles. This is a simulation for muons and gammas. Muons has a really sharp time structure because all photons are coherent coming from single particle, and when you observe Cherenkov light from muon by Cherenkov telescope, it has really narrow time structure. However, in case of gamma, if Cherenkov light is yielded many electrons, and it has a few nanosecond distribution. So with a very fast flash ADC, we can discriminate muons. It is still under investigation. So we will construct second telescope until end of next year. And the baseline is we want to use a hybrid photon detector and a silicon PM. Yeah, to use silicon PM, we need several years, at least 5 years, to get a few centimeter size silicon PM. But it is ongoing. And the ultra-fast flash ADC is already, some model is made in our institute, and much cheaper solution dominant chip sampler is under development. It will become a baseline of magic two electronics. And I want to discuss next generation after magic two and the HES two after 2010. Next generation rhythmic ground based gamma ray telescope. Yeah, perhaps we need to improve sensitivity order of magnitude in next 10 years. And we should access this 10 GB energies or a few GB energies. And there we can consider several possibilities. One possibility is build very big telescope, 4 or 3 or 4 big telescopes, 30 meter diameter scale. And we already started a study of 34 meter telescope. It is published in AstroPH. And with 30 meter diameter telescope, we are sure we can go 3 GB threshold energy. Yeah, but we need an advanced photon detector, quantum efficiency more than 50%. And another possibility is that we should consider, we can consider 10 or 20 magic plus middle class size telescope with advanced camera. Yeah, if we consider 10 or 20 telescopes with relatively small separation, we can sample 10% of Cherenkov photons. For example, if we consider 40 meter separation of the telescope, we can sample about 10% of Cherenkov photons. and with 80% or 70% quantum efficiency, you can see more than 5% of photons. Telescope, yeah, each telescope measure essentially the photon arrival direction distribution photon vectors, and each telescope measure the lateral distribution of photons on the ground. So the this system could work very well to determine good angular resolution, good energy resolution, and good hadron dejection. And another possibility is that if we have many sources in the sky, it is wise to consider the wide angle, say plus minus 30 degree, very wide angle telescope. Yeah, for example, with optics of use optics, you can cover plus minus 30 degrees. Upside down of use optics, you can see very wide angle. There are many many possibilities.
We're talking about 70 meters diameter. What you could frame and lenses could not give you more than 2 meters probably.
You can make a tessellated frame.
70 meters diameter.
Yeah. Very difficult. Sure. And it depends on many issues. What kind of design is best? It depends on the many issues. I want to show the our observation of cloud by magic. At 1 TeV energies, you can see really good alpha distribution. Purely you can see just gamma. All hadrons are rejected. And hadrons increase somehow. However, after 50 GB or 60 GB energies, you can see this is a sigma, this part. And you have a lot of background. Below 100 GB energies, signal to noise ratio becomes very worse quickly. And this is a Monte Carlo simulation showing the muon fraction, muon Cherenkov light fraction in one image. So the one means pure muons, muon dim. And the zero means Piezer showers. And between 0 and 1, we have a multiple muon ding and Piezer gamma showers in one image. After image cleaning, after image selection, hadron dejection, we obtain such distribution. This is the original one. And after image cleaning, we obtain such thing. However, you can recognize this part rejected very well. However, the muons and the Piezer shower reduced. Reduction factor is smaller than this part. And this figure showed another plot. Originally, protons generated light this way. This is a brightness of Cherenkov image, and after image cleaning, high energy part, you don't see any background. However, below 100 GB energies, suddenly you have muons and Piezer showers. So the, with multiple telescope, you can reduce, you can reject muon showers, muons. However, it is almost impossible to reject Piezer showers. Yeah, this is another aspect of low energy showers. We have a very huge fluctuations. You can see each limbs on the ground. This is a regular 5 GB case and a 10 GB case. So the in low energies, we have a lot of problem. Muons are problem, and the pi zero make pure gamma showers and very difficult to reject. However, if you see two prongs from one pi zero, yeah, in case of 10 GB pios, you will see 0.4 degrees separation in two prongs. Perhaps this can be used for rejection, but sometimes you will see one prong, just one prong. In that case, you cannot reject anything. And the primary electron becomes significant background in this energy. At the 30 GeV energy threshold, I remember the electron rate is 2 Hz, already 2 Hz. If you go 10 GeV, perhaps it becomes 10 Hz or 20 Hz rate. And pure photon statistics, geomagnetic field also make the distortion in our Cherenkov images. And pure photon statistics make the situation worse. Yeah, for example, 10 GeV showers, we just have 30 photoelectrons in case of magic. So if we can increase quantum efficiency by a factor of 3, this number becomes 100 photoelectrons, and we can trigger these 10 GeV showers. So the in case of 4 echo cells of 30 meter diameter telescope or 16 magic size telescope, we can increase the photon correction efficiency by 16. And with this number gives us about 10% correction of the photons. And with advanced photon detector with silicon PM, we can gain factor of 3. So the multiply 16 times 3, we can gain 50. We can collect 50 times more photons with a dense array of magic with advanced photon. So this is my personal opinion, not the magic collaboration's opinion. And perhaps to build a next generation telescope, we need a large international collaboration. Yeah, HES and the MAGIC and the Kangaroo Delta shall join the one project. And we should study a lot of, we can study a lot of things from MAGIC and the HES, I think. How many sources in the sky and characteristics of the low energy shower shall be experimentally studied. We honestly speaking, we didn't know the background below 100 GeV is so awful. We didn't know. After measuring the signals, we saw the a lot of new type of background, not only muons, piezo showers, and later it is confirmed by Monte Carlo. So perhaps we are forgetting many things. So the experimental demonstration is very, very important, and we need to understand. And the systematic site survey could be necessary. Aruma site is perhaps one of the best places in the world, or Hawaii is a nice place to work. However, the area could be very small. And in Bolivia, there is a altiplano. Yeah, it has a height of 4,000 meters. In Tibet, there is another option, Tibet. It is also a good place. Recently, Indian people are developing the Himalaya site, Hande. They are building a MACE telescope. They will build MACE telescope, a 21 meter diameter Cherenkov telescope there at the 4,000 meter altitude. So we should study many things. At high altitude, we cannot survive well, so the telescope should be fully robotic. And experimental study of high altitude effect shall be well studied to go high altitude if we choose high altitude to lower the threshold energy. And characterization of low energy showers and the design study of wide angle telescope and the advanced photon detector development shall be done through the MAGIC and the MAGIC 2 and the HES and the HES 2 phase. And then perhaps this time scale is very optimistic. And we reach some final conceptual design, and then we should construct the looking at the ground-based Cherenkov telescope with a collaboration. In the collaboration, it's Kangaroo and the Bell Jackson, all S and the Magic collaboration. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Questions?
Do you have a movie of this thing slowly?
Yes, I have, but I'm not sure.
We won't believe it until we see it.
It's slow.
Yeah, they could be speeding it up.
Yeah, this is an old film. So the exact number is 22 seconds for one rotation. Yeah, this voice is Eckhart. Yeah, Eckhart Lorenz. Very impressive, very impressive.
Have you yet smoothed to a gamma ray burst since you started drawing?
This first rotation has some disk. And we need to add another limiter switches to operate this thing. It is now our technician go to the technicians go to the apartment setting the equipment. So this may, this first rotation will be implemented in observation. Yeah, last week we observed a very bright gamma ray burst. However, in that time, we didn't move this fast, and we moved in normal way. And after 4 minutes, we started the observation, and little result, no signal was observed.
What do the theorists predict about the gamma ray spectrum and these sorts of energies?
There should be high energy emission, this certainly in the early, very early minute time scale.
Minute.
We know from observations that it goes to at least 10 GeV to the top phase of.
So it's one event, yeah.
So 4 minutes it could have to be from the afterglow on.
Yeah, we continued observation for 4 hours or something. Yeah. However, quickly the data is analyzed, but we didn't see.
You have a better chance for a high cutoff in the afterglow than in the prompt emission, but so you know, really getting above 10 GeV is easier, or above 40 GeV is easier in the afterglow in principle, but of course the intensity decays in time. So.
We want to catch a very early afterglow, just as it starts. This is in a few minutes.
Yeah, if we extrapolate the gamma ray flux from Batsy energy to 10 GeV or 30 GeV energy.
10 GeV, you yeah. Go to, yeah.
Then, with an exponent of 2e to minus 2.2 or something, e to minus 2, we expect a 1000 Hz. At 30 GeV energy. Mm-hmm. So if we observe the extended spectrum, it becomes a really clear signal. 1000 Hz cannot be observed with some mistake.
But this is what flux of
average. Taking the average. Yeah. In worst case, we cannot observe signals due to the 10 kHz or data aggregation dead time limit the observation. If it increases more than 1000 Hz, we cannot observe
So if you're not blinded by gamma rays, these gamma burst models are in trouble, is that what you're saying?
So if you don't
see this phenomenal,
we can see it. Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe the absorption is too strong.
Mm.
Well, absorption is another question I wanted to ask about. What's the, you showed a picture of Felix and Paolo on the attenuation length of gamma rays against infrared. What if gamma ray, ground-based gamma ray observations put new limits on infrared diffused background? Because this is very relevant for this integration.
Yeah. Now we should speak about optical background, because this energy band, they interact with optical photons. So,
almost.
I was really meaning from the observation of the AGN.
The AGN.
Yeah, you said you had an AGN at some quite impressive Z, was it 0.047 or something?
Yeah, the answer
0.16. No, it was nearby. 0.16 is, say, 400 GV. I want to say about this optical background, because there are a lot of controversial statements about optical background level, and recently Primack at least, claims, it seems there are good reasons for that, that the background could be very low, closer to these in optical wavelengths, which is so-called Mandela Placeti, low limit from counts of the galaxies, so it's good news if it's true. So you could move a bit, one zit with 10-20 GV. But otherwise, it's you are right. It's 20 GV is probably if you really are talking about zit one or.
Now I was really interested in what the diffuse infrared background was from the point of view of photodisintegration of the heavy nuclei. The gamma bursts will soon have to explode.
That nothing to do with this magic. Then it's just far infrared, 100 micron.
Yeah, it's a general question. What is the position on? We were always being told when these projects were being planned that we're going to see steepening of the AGN spectra, and these were going to give us limits on the infrared background. What's the position?
So for that, this AGN, far AGN, cannot tell me anything about infrared background, because the cutoff is already earlier. Even Markarian 421501, they're sensitive to 20-30 micron. So what we can tell from Markarians, if you take the ISO low limit, all the Markarian spectrum starts go up. So we could say ISO limit probably 20 micron is reasonable level of the background, because there is also source counts some from all galaxies, so we couldn't avoid that. So there are one point is 50 micron, another point is safe from COBE is 140 micron from Finkbeiner and others. So, but now how you connect these two points, there are many ways. So that gamma rays at this stage cannot tell you anything. You need a source at the distance 10 to 15 megaparsec, like M87 or SEM-A, and if they emit gamma rays up to 100 TeV, then you should see this effect at beyond 10 TeV. So, all gamma ray observations we have now, they don't tell us anything about the regional background, which you are interested from point of view. So it's just, even Markarians are not sensitive to this part of the background. You need nearby source emitting gamma rays up to 100 tens of TV, like M87. It's perfect source. If M87, we know now M87 is gamma ray source, but we don't know how far the spectrum beyond 10 TV.
Monsignor, did you say something about the spectrum of the galactic center, how far up it extends?
At the moment I cannot say anything, but a fairly good agreement with Hess.
In slope or in up?
No. We just obtained the flux.
Hess simply goes to 10 TeV.
Yeah. Only his camera, this one is the movie focus spectrum. So very safely it goes to 10 TV, could be 15 TV, we can run TDF.
But we are planning to observe several tens hours of galactic center. Mm-hmm. And perhaps in that case we can, at the large zero sample, we can reach to hopefully 50 TV energies if it is extended. Mm-hmm. Yeah, rough estimation.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Low energy
sensitivity
for the galactic center is
low energy.
It's low energy.
Yeah, we can see galactic center around 60 degrees Zenith angle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the threshold energy is really high, 700 GeV.
Yeah.
So we cannot access below.
The data you showed was
700 GeV, above 700 GeV. So hopefully this cosmic ray conference in summer, we want to show a spectrum of galactic center signal.
Okay, thank you very much.